Barry here, where the stories never grow old, and you hear something new every time they are told and it comes clear. So tarry here, where it doesn't matter your age, and when we gather round the table we all take the stage year after year. So tarry here, we're living now and we're all in this place.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Enlighten Radio Storytelling Hour. You're listening to enlightenradio.org. We're broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia. This is Fanny Crawford.
And Stosh Ziolkowski.
We're your Storytelling Hour co-hosts. Today is Monday, April 2nd, and our theme is excerpts from love letters and unexpected happenings, problems and surprises at storytelling events. That's a really long theme. You could fit almost anything in there, and we might. Right. But before we tell some stories, Stosh, you wanted to talk about what happened this past week, huh?
This past week, well, a week ago today.
Okay.
We performed Love Letters.
Oh, yeah.
In Hagerstown.
I remember that.
And, and all of our concerns or worries or whatever about performing that wonderful show were not realized because we had a tremendous audience who really
great,
paid attention.
Great audience, yes.
And
I love that audience.
The play is long. It's about an hour and a half,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
with a 10-minute intermission. And the audience stayed around and asked questions. And
then they stayed and kibitzed with each other and
yes,
ate cookies. And
it was wonderful. And they had some very interesting questions and comments. And it was a really good experience. I've done that show a number of times. And I thought the audience was really, the questions that they asked were very insightful. And the truth is, I've never done that where the audience asked any questions. It was always in a different kind of situation.
Yeah.
More of a stage rather than a room.
Mm-hmm. Well, about half of those people are regulars. They come
right
to Stories in the Round every time. So they own that space,
right,
and they're not shy about asking
right
their questions. That was quite wonderful to hear,
yes,
how they were hearing what we were doing.
Right.
That was a nice bonus for me.
And I worked this week on getting ready for April 19th when I'm going to do a science program at the library, and I had a great time. I like to build things for telling science stories with young people, and I worked on building a copy of my version of Tycho Brahe's instrument, one of his instruments where he cataloged the stars without a telescope, just by their position. And I got well into my wooden structure, and then something happened with the saw.
Something.
And so I'm going to make it out of something else now because it didn't work. So anyway, that's one of the fun things to have happen. And how about you this week?
I collected a few stories. We were, my husband and I were with his mother down in Chesterfield, Virginia, and she always loves to tell stories. She brings out photo albums and pictures, and once you get her started, she has lots of wonderful stories, and some of them are stories I've heard before, but each time she adds a little bit of a twist or something I hadn't heard before, so I spend my time scribbling while I'm listening to her. And then on April 21st, I have an African-American storytelling event coming up in Hagerstown. I'm not sure the place has actually been confirmed yet, but it's 2 to 4 on Saturday, April 21st. And if you want more information about that, our listeners can call me at 301-730-1638. And then, of course, we have Susan Gordon coming for Stories in the Round on the fourth Monday, and we'll talk more about Stories in the Round a little bit later.
I did have one other thing come up. My wife brought a card home from a local business in Sharpsburg, where we live, Sharpsburg, Maryland, and said that the woman there would like me to contact her about telling a story at a Christmas event. And she asked my wife, my wife told her I was a storyteller. She asked my wife if I knew the little matchstick girl. And my wife immediately told her, it's one of his favorite stories.
So you're trapped.
and so it sounds like it would be a nice thing to do. I need to talk to the lady and see just exactly what she wants. That seems like an interesting thing to do, but the little matchstick girl takes about 8 minutes to tell. Mm. And I usually don't do anything where there's just one little story.
Yeah.
But since I could walk to the place, it might be fun.
Well, you could make it longer, too. I'm sure you'd have no trouble making it a 20-minute story.
Yeah, but it's Hans Christian Andersen, and I would not fool around with it. I think his stories are sort of sacred.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Oh, and then I have a workshop with Eileen Evans coming up the April 26th, 27th. 28th and 29th. Wow. She's gathering a group of performers in various arts and storytellers. Wow. And we're going to do little performances for each other, and she's going to coach us, and we coach each other. Hmm. It's always a daunting group. These are always these hyper powerful women who make their living in the arts, which I have never had to do. So I'm always impressed by how they carry themselves, and they just see themselves as performers. That's who they are. And so I just like to talk myself. But they are not only storytellers, some of them are actors and painters and fiber artists and dancers and a wide variety of skills. And so I'm a little intimidated by them.
From my last workshop, the emphasis at one point was on picking the best possible language to get a message across. I was going to suggest something to you from what you just said.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
You said they support themselves or make a living. And you, I forget exactly how you said it, but you said, which you've never had to do.
I've never had to use storytelling to earn. I mean, I do love to get paid for storytelling, and that does happen occasionally.
But well, here's my suggestion.
Okay.
You should say, which I chose not to do.
To do.
Which,
okay.
Which sounds like you're so independently wealthy. And you're such a storyteller.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to sound independently wealthy. And you know, I'm already targeted by Nigerian princes and people from all over the world sending me emails because they're in jail and I need to bail them out. Do you get those emails too?
I do sometimes. Okay, sometimes write them notes.
I do not want to be known as independently wealthy in anybody's circle. Okay.
I like to send people like that a note saying that my cellmate and I are not in a position to help out. But if you get more than you need, send.
There you go. That's good. All right. So because we performed Love Letters, that wonderful two-person play by A.R. Gurney, last Monday was our debut performance. You've performed that play with several other women, I understand.
Yes. Four other women. And I won't make a comment about the caliber of performances.
Thank you.
But you were great. You did a wonderful job.
Well, I certainly had a lot of fun, and the audience looked like they enjoyed themselves too, and that's what counts. So we thought, usually when we do storytelling events or we're leading up to a performance, either at Stories in the Round or elsewhere, we do a little performance on the radio before that as part of our marketing and outreach for the event. But this time we've turned that around and we're doing a little bit of love letters today on the radio after the performance has already happened. But I understand there is also a possibility that we may be performing love letters again.
This may be post-performance marketing.
Okay.
Yes, I'm working on doing a show possibly in Sharpsburg. I just need to get permission to use the space.
Okay.
And
we will wait with bated breath.
Yes.
To hear.
And I think it will be wonderful. The town could use a little bit of us.
Yeah. Now, there's a scary thought. I thought you were going to say a little bit of love letters, but. Okay, so we should do a quick station ID, and then we'll start our little selections from love letters.
Well, this is the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour at enlightenedradio.org, broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia, with me, Stasia Okowski, and
me, Fanny Crawford,
our storytelling co-hosts. And we're going to now do an excerpt from Love Letters.
Okay, and just to reiterate, this is a two-person play written by A.R. Gurney about 1950s was when
A little later than that.
60s?
70s.
70s. Wow. But it actually begins much early. The play itself is set in the late
30s. April 19th, 1937.
Okay, take it away.
Andrew Makepeace Ladd III accepts with the pleasure the kind invitation of Mr. and Mrs. Gilbert Channing Gardner for a birthday party in honor of their daughter Melissa on April 19th, 1937 at 3:30.
Dear Andy, thank you for the birthday present. I have a lot of Oz books, but not The Lost Princess of Oz. What made you give me that one? Sincerely yours, Melissa.
I'm answering your letter about the book. When you came into second grade with that stuck-up nurse, you looked like a lost princess.
I don't believe what you wrote. I think my mother told your mother to get that book. I like the pictures more than the words. Now let's stop writing letters.
I will make my L's taller than my D's.
I will close up my A's and O's.
I will try to make longer P's. Pass it on.
You're funny.
Will you be my Valentine?
Were you the one who sent me a Valentine saying, "Will you be my Valentine?"
Yes, I sent it.
Then I will be, unless I have to kiss you.
When it's warmer out, can I come over and swim in your pool?
No, you can't. I have a new nurse named Miss Hawthorne who thinks you'll give me infantile paralysis.
Will you help me go down and get the milk and cookies during recess?
I will if you don't ask me to marry you again.
I will not
write personal notes in class. I will not write personal notes in class. I will not.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Love, Andy Ladd.
I made this card myself. It's not Santa Claus. It's a kangaroo jumping over a glass of orange juice. Do you like it? I like you, Melissa.
My mother says I have to apologize in writing. I apologize for sneaking into the girls' bathhouse while you were changing into your bathing suit. Miss Hawthorne, tell Miss Hawthorne I apologize to her too.
Here is a picture I drew of you and me without our bathing suits on. Guess which one is you? Don't show this to anyone. I love you.
Here is a picture of Miss Hawthorne without her bathing suit on.
You can't draw very well, can you?
Thank you for sending me the cactus plant stuck in the little donkey. I've gotten lots of presents here in the hospital. and I have to write thank you notes for everyone. I hate it here. My throat is sore all the time from where they cut out my tonsils. They give me lots of ice cream, but they take my temperature the wrong way.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Why did they send you to another school this year?
Merry Christmas. They think I should be with all boys.
You made me promise to send you a postcard. This is it.
You're supposed to write personal notes on the backs of postcards. For example, here are some questions to help you think of things to say. Do you like Lake Saranac? Is it fun visiting your grandmother?
Oh.
Are your parents really getting divorced? Can you swim out into the deep part of the lake, or does Miss Hawthorne make you stay in the shallow part where it's all roped off? Is there anybody there my age? I mean boys. Please write answers to all these questions.
No, no, yes. Yes, no.
Dear Melissa, remember me, Andy Ladd? They've sent me to camp so I can be with all boys again. This is quiet hour, so we have to write home. But I've already done that, so I'm writing you. There's a real Indian here named Iron Crow who takes us on nature walks and teaches us 6 new plants a day. This is okay, except he forgot about poison ivy.
Oh.
I won the backstroke, which gives me 2.5 gold stars. If I get over 50 gold stars by Parents' Day, then I win a leadership prize, which is what my father expects of me. I'm making a napkin ring in shop, which is worth 4 stars, and which is either for my mother or for you.
Oh.
I hope you write me back, because when the mail comes every morning, they shout out our names, and it would be neat to walk up and get a letter from a girl.
Help! Eek! Yipes! I can't write letters. It took me hours just to write Dear Andy. I wrote my father because I miss him so much. But to write a boy? Hell's bells. I'm sending you this picture I drew of our cat instead. Don't you love his expression? It's not quite right, but I tried 3 times. I drew those jiggly lines around his tail because sometimes the tail behaves like a completely separate person. I love that tail. There's a part of me that feels like that tail. Oh, and here's some bad news. My mother's gotten married again to a man named Hooper McPhail. Help! Let me out of here.
I like the cat. Is that the cat you threw in the pool that time when we were playing over at your house in 3rd grade?
No, that was a different cat entirely.
This is a dumb Halloween card and wouldn't scare anyone, but I'm really writing about dancing school. My parents say I have to go this year, but I don't see why I have to. I can't figure out why they keep sending us away from girls and then telling us we have to be with them. Are you going to dancing school also? Just write yes or no, since you hate writing.
Yes.
Dear Mrs. McPhail, I want to apologize to you for my behavior in the back of your car coming home last night from dancing school. Charlie and I were just goofing around, and I guess it just got out of hand. I'm sorry you had to pull over to the curb, and I'm sorry we tore Melissa's dress. My father says you should send me the bill, and I'll pay for it out of my allowance.
Dear Andy, Mommy brought your letter up here to Lake Placid. She thought it was cute. I thought it was dumb. I could tell your father made you write it. You and I both know that the fight in the car was really Charlie's fault. And Charlie never apologized. Thank God. That's why I like him, actually. As for you, you shouldn't always do what your parents want, Andy. Even at dancing school, you're always doing just the right thing all the time. You're a victim of your parents sometimes. That was why I picked Charlie to do the rumba with me that time. He at least hacks around occasionally. I'm enclosing a picture I drew of a dancing bear on a chain. That's you, Andy. Oh, sometimes, I swear.
I know it seems jerky, but I like writing, actually. I like writing compositions in English. I like writing letters. I like writing you. I wanted to write that letter to your mother because I knew you'd see it, so it was like talking to you when you weren't here. And when you couldn't interrupt, hint, hint. My father says everyone should write letters as much as they can. It's a dying art. He says letters are a way of presenting yourself in the best possible light to another person. I think that too.
I think you sound too much like your father. But I'm not going to argue by mail. And anyway, the skiing's too good.
Get well soon. I'm sorry you broke your leg.
Mummy says I broke it purposely because I'm a self-destructive person and went down Whiteface Mountain without asking permission. All I know is I wish I'd broken my arm instead so I'd have a good excuse not to write letters. I'm enclosing a picture I drew of the bedpan. I'm serious. Don't you love its shape?
Andrew M. Ladd III accepts with pleasure the kind invitation of Mrs. R. Ferguson Brown for a dinner in honor of her granddaughter, Melissa Gardner, before the children's charity ball.
I'm writing this letter because I'm scared if I called you up, I'd start crying right on the telephone. I'm really mad at you, Andy. Don't you know that when you're invited to a dinner before a dance, you're supposed to dance with the person giving it at least twice? And I don't mean my grandmother either. That's why they give dinner parties, so people get danced with. I noticed you danced with Ginny Waters, but you never danced with me once. I just think it's rude, that's all. Straighten up and fly right, Andy. How do you expect to get anywhere in life if you're rude to women? Nuts to you, Andy, and that goes double on Sunday.
I didn't dance with you because I've got a stretch groin. If you don't know what that means, look it up sometime. I was going to tell you in person, but I got embarrassed. I stretched it playing hockey last week. The only reason I dance with Ginny Waters is she takes tiny steps. But you always make me do those big spins, and we could have gotten into serious trouble. I tried it out at home with my mother first, and it hurt like hell. That's why I didn't dance with you. I'm using a heating pad now, and maybe we can dance next week at the junior assemblies.
I don't believe that hockey stuff. I think Ginny Waters stretched your groin.
What?
And next time you cut in, I'm going to stretch the other one.
You obviously don't know what a groin is.
You obviously don't know what a joke is.
And that's the beginning, the first section of A.R. Gurney's Love Letters.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll do a little bit more later
yes,
on.
Yes, we can do some another section in a little while, but... I think we should, it would be appropriate time to mention stories in the round.
Okay, but first we should tell our listeners what they're listening to here. This is the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour, and I'm Fanny Crawford.
And I'm Stash Siokowski.
We're your storytelling co-hosts today, Monday, April 2nd, 2018.
Right.
It's good to orient oneself
right.
Now and then. When you go back and forth between 1937 and 2018, one must take stock.
Yes. As long as we're not talking about the stock market.
No,
right.
Not today.
So now we can have some information about stories in the round.
Okay.
Which you know better than anybody.
Well, now that's a little scary, but okay. So we just did... We opened season 5 of Stories in the Round in March by presenting Love Letters, You and I, Stosh, and that was on
March 26th. And in April, Susan Gordon is coming back with some brand new material, and she wants everybody to know she'll be telling a variety of stories, a couple animal stories, some personal, well, all of her stories, I think, are personal stories this time. I don't know if she's going to tell any folk tales, which is her other favorite genre, folk tales and fairy tales. But I know she's telling some original animal stories, and she's going to read a bit of poetry that she's been working on. And she's been working with a writer's group for some time now, so I know she's pretty excited about this new material. And that's April 23rd at the Unitarian Universalist Church out on Searfoss Pike in Hagerstown, 215 Searfoss Pike. Thank you for rescuing me there. But the easy way to figure out what's going on is to email me at Fanitsky, F-A-N-I-T-S-K-Y, at hotmail.com, or call me at 301-730-1638, and hopefully I'll have my head screwed on properly when you call. In May, Dr. Kevin Cordy is coming to Stories in the Round. And not only is he going to do a concert for us, as usual, the fourth Monday of the month on May 28th, but he's also doing a workshop at my house in Hagerstown. So if you're interested in a workshop for storytellers or wannabe storytellers or very experienced storytellers, everyone is welcome. You do not necessarily have to have any prior experience at storytelling. You just have to be interested in spontaneity and enthusiasm for storytelling. And Kevin Cordy has a slightly different style than most of the workshoppers that we have worked with recently. So I'm really looking forward to hearing how he's going to run this
workshop.
Very
dynamic man.
Yeah, I've been talking to him. He's quite a dynamo on the phone. In June, June 18th, that's not the fourth Monday. This will be on the third Monday because we've booked Andy Offit Irwin for his return to Stories in the Round. And we're very lucky to get him because he's booked up 2 and 3 years in advance most of the time. But he is coming back to Stories in the Round to tell some new material of his. And he's also doing a workshop, and that's very limited participation, limited seating, but you can give me a call about that too. 301-730-1638 or Fanitsky at Hotmail.
That's going to be a very sad weekend.
Oh, because Stosh can't be there.
I won't be able to go to the workshop.
But afterwards, you will be a whole new man, and you will be a dynamo even more than you already are now.
Yeah.
And the last Stories in the Round event that I'm going to talk about today, there are more coming up all the way through December, but the last one I have confirmed is July 23rd, which is Memorial, we're way past Memorial Day, never mind, July 23rd, Magid Melvin Medlitz, who is an old friend of my family, but I knew him as a public school teacher. He was a teacher at my elementary school and was always one of my great heroes, good friend of my parents. And I just reconnected with him after probably something like 25 years not seeing him. And we learned that we are both storytellers. But Magid Melvin Medlitz tells within the rabbinical tradition, the Hasidic rabbinical tradition, carrying on in the footsteps of those tellers from the 18th century, 1774, according to my research. And Mickey Medlitz, as I call him, is an ordained magid, which means he tells stories that illustrate or pass on the teachings of the Torah. And I know Melvin Medlitz as a storyteller before I knew him as a magid. So I know of what I speak. He is an amazing storyteller, and you're not going to want to miss
that session. Looking forward to that.
That's July 23rd. And maybe the next time we meet on air, I'll have more information about the rest of the story series.
I'm looking forward to penciling in the dates and the names.
Okay. And listeners, call me at fanitsky@hotmail.com, fanitsky@hotmail.com, or 301-730-1638 for more information about the series. We still have season's tickets if anybody's interested in the entire series, and $10 in advance or $12 at the door if you're paying for individual sessions.
And now, I think it would be good if we could continue with our story of love letters.
Ah, okay. Let me turn my pages to the second section. So this is from about the middle, I would say. It's almost exactly the middle. So this is after Melissa Channing Gardner and Andrew Makepeace Ladd III are on their way to being grown-ups.
Right.
Not and quite there yet.
What has happened just before this is a disagreement, and where they had some unpleasant words with each other through their letters. And then some time passes, and we begin with this. Dear Melissa, my mother wrote me that your grandmother had died. Please accept my deepest sympathies.
Thank you for your note about my grandmother. I loved her a lot, even though she could be a little boring.
Congratulations on getting into Briarcliff. I hear it's great.
Thank you for your note about Briarcliff. It's not great, and you know it. In fact, it's a total pit. But it's close to New York, and I can take the train in and take drawing at the Institute 3 days a week. And in 2 years, if I stick it out, Mommy's promised that I can go live in Florence. I hope you like Yale.
Would you consider coming to the Yale-Dartmouth game Saturday, October 28th?
I'll be there.
Uh-oh. Damn. I'm sorry, Melissa. I have to cancel. My parents have decided to visit that weekend, and they come first, according to them. My mother says she'd love to have you with us, but my father thinks you can be somewhat distracting.
You and your parents. Let me know when you decide to grow up.
How about the Harvard game, November 16th?
Do you plan to grow up at the Harvard game?
Give me a chance. I might surprise you.
Okay, let's give it a try. You should know that I'm even richer now than when you said I was rich, thanks to poor Granny. I plan to drive up to the front gate of Calhoun College in my new red Chrysler convertible and sit there stark naked, honking my horn and drinking champagne, flashing at all the freshmen.
Oh, boy. Here's the schedule. We'll have lunch at Calhoun around noon, then drive out to the game. Then there's a sea breeze party at the Fence Club afterwards, and an eggnog brunch at St. Anthony's the next day. I'll reserve a room for you at the Taft or the Duncan. Probably the Taft, since the Duncan is a pretty seedy joint.
Make it the Duncan. I hear the Taft is loaded with parents all milling around the lobby, keeping tabs on who goes up in the elevators. Can't wait till the 16th.
The Duncan it is. Hubba hubba. Good year, rubba.
Dear Andy, this is supposed to be a thank you note for the Yale-Harvard weekend, but I don't feel like writing one, and I think you know why. Love, Melissa.
Dear Melissa, I keep thinking about the weekend. I can't get it out of my mind. It wasn't much good, was it? I don't mean just the Duncan. I mean the whole thing. We didn't really click, did we? I always had the sense that you were looking over my shoulder, looking for someone else, and ditto with me. Both of us seemed to be expecting something different from what was there. As for the Hotel Duncan, I don't know. Maybe I had too many sea breezes. Maybe you did. But what I really think is that there were too many people in the hotel room. Besides you and me, it seemed my mother was there egging us on, and my father, shaking his head, and your mother, zonked out on the couch, and Miss Hawthorne and your grandmother, sitting on the sidelines, watching us like hawks. Anyway, I was a dud. I admit it. I'm sorry. I went to the infirmary on Monday and talked to the doctor about it, and he said these things happen all the time, particularly when there's a lot of pressure involved. The woman doesn't have to worry about it so much, but the man does. Anyway, it didn't happen with Gretchen Lascelles. You can write her and ask her if you want.
You know what I think is wrong? These letters. These damn letters. That's what's wrong with us, in my humble opinion. I know you more from your letters than I do in person. Maybe that's why I was looking over your shoulder. I was looking for the person who's been in these letters all these years. Or for the person who's not in these letters. I don't know. All I know is you're not quite the same when I see you, Andy. You're really not. I'm not saying you're a jerk in person. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that all this letter writing has messed us up. It's a bad habit. It's made us seem like people we're not. So maybe what was wrong was that there were two people missing in the Hotel Duncan that night, namely the real you and the real me.
Whatever the matter is, we're in real trouble, you and I. That I realize. So now, what do we do about it? Maybe we should just concentrate on dancing together. Then we can still hold each other and move together and get very subtly sexy with each other and not have to deliver the goods all the time, if you know what I mean. Come to think of it, maybe that's why they sent us to dancing school in the first place. Maybe that's why they invented dancing.
At least we should stop writing letters for a while. You could start telephoning me, actually. Here's our dorm number, Wilson 12486.
I hate talking to you on the telephone. Yours is in the hall, and ours is right by the college dining room. People are always coming and going and making cracks. Telephoning is not letter writing at all.
I called the telephone company, and they've put a private phone in my room, Rogers 22403. It's sort of expensive, but at least we can talk.
The reason I'm writing is because your phone's always busy. Or else ours is, and I can't afford a private one. Maybe we should just start writing letters again.
No letters, please. Now order that telephone. I'll lend you the dough. Just think about it. You can talk back and forth and hear someone's real voice and get to know someone in life rather than on writing paper. For God's sake, now get that phone, please.
I'm writing because when I telephoned, you just hung up on me. One thing about letters, you can't hang up on them.
Dear Andy, guess what? Right while I was in the middle of reading your letter, Jack Duffield telephoned from Amherst and asked me for a weekend up there. So I said yes before I got to where you asked me. Sorry, sweetie, but it looks like the telephone wins in the end.
Dear Melissa, somehow I don't think this is the end. It could be, but I don't really think it is. At least I hope it isn't. Love, Andy. And of course, that's not the end of the show.
No, not at all.
It goes
that's
on
halfway
into their adulthood with lots of adventures and lots of letters and
learning experiences.
definitely learning experiences. Oh boy. So I think now would be a good time for the Speak Story Series Roundup.
Sure. You're going to do that.
I guess I am.
I think you are.
I have it right here. And let's see. Coming up in April, just a week from tomorrow. Oh, and something I was really looking forward to. However, my wife and I are flying out to Utah next Tuesday to see our grandchildren.
Woohoo!
And their parents. But mostly the grandchildren.
Well, if you have to.
Right. Yeah. Well, we do, since they live in the same house. But on April 10th at Shepherd University in the Speak Story series, the storyteller Motoko will be performing. And she's going to be doing comical tales from Japan. And May 8th, Robert Kikuchi in Gojo. We'll be doing a program between Shadow and Light, Asian Tales of Wisdom and Woe. And June 12th, Scott Whitehair, who is the producer of a program called This Much Is True, will be doing personal tales. And he also runs a program of an open mic, which is Do Not Submit. And it sounds very interesting.
He's that new generation of urban storytellers.
Right. If I ever get to Chicago, I'd like to see him at one of those other venues. In July 10th, Dovey Thomason is going to do, our program is going to be How the West Was Spun. And Dovey is a Native American who's going to tell some of the real tales about the American West and the effects it has had on our history, and also the effects it's had on our non-history.
Yeah.
Where lots of people do not get to hear the truth. August 14th, Corrine Stavish, When Good People Do Something, is about Denmark during the Second World War and how 98% of the Jews in Denmark were rescued or saved from the Nazi invasion. That looks like it's going to be a very good program. They're all going to be a good program. And September 11th, Donald Davis, one of the premier storytellers in America, and a treat anytime you get to hear Donald. And he's going to be here in person, so it'll be wonderful. October 9th, Linda Gorham, Twisted Tales and Unconventional Humor. She's going to do some of her twisted fairy tales. She's another storyteller, an African-American storyteller. November 13th is Megan Wells. Old Tales and Classical Literature is her forte. And she is a mesmerizing storyteller. Last year at Jonesboro, I just sat in my seat waiting for her to tell her a story, even though she was walking off stage and the audience was getting up and leaving. I wasn't ready to go yet. Mm-hmm. So that's a great lineup coming at Shepherd University, second Tuesday of each month. And you can get more information at speakstoryseries.com.
I just went online to the website to see if they had yet posted when Elizabeth Ellis will be coming back, and I do not see that.
No, I don't think they know that yet, and I may find that out at the meeting today.
Okay, good.
Right. So, we are at a point where I think it would be a good idea if we could talk a bit about the second part of our topic for today, that unexpected happenings, problems, surprises at storytelling events.
I wondered what you had in mind.
Well,
you must have a story ready.
I'm not sure of an exact story, but one of the things I've done in the past is library summer reading programs. Every year, the American Library Association sets out a topic for summer reading. And in the past, it's been science, heroes. And anyway, I did a series of storytelling in near Pittsburgh in different county libraries. And I was shocked when I did this about heroes. Instead of doing sort of childhood heroes or young children's heroes like Superman, Batman, that's all the rage in video games and things like that nowadays. That laugh was because I was making an extra noise. and my wonderful co-host fixed it. And even didn't even slap my hand.
So wasn't necessary. Right.
So at one particular library, the librarian had arranged for the children to sit fairly close to me, and I was doing some children's stories and explaining where the heroic part came in. Some were a couple of little songs, and I did one in particular was a Hans Christian Andersen story about the emperor's new clothes. And of course, it's a famous story about the emperor being hoodwinked by some con men into believing that their special cloth was so wonderful that only certain people could see it. And he actually went in the parade with this so-called special cloth on, which was nothing at all. So he paraded in front of his people in the nude. And I told this with using my accordion for some sound effects and a little bit of background. And as I began the story describing the events in it, one little girl, probably about 3 or 4 years old, stood up from sitting on the floor, and about every 30 or 40 seconds, she would take a small step towards me. And I had said to the librarian to let parents know when they come in that the children shouldn't be kind of herded, gathered or something while I'm telling stories. And if they got excited and shouted out or something, that was okay, that I would deal with it. Well, when I got to the very end of the story where a young child in the story shouts out that the emperor is naked, he doesn't have any clothes, this little girl covered her mouth with both hands and burst into giggling, and she was standing about 2 feet from me. I was sitting on a chair with my accordion, and it was just a wonderful happening. I don't think I could have staged anything better for that story, because she became so involved in the story, and she actually got the ending of it, that it was inappropriate for the king to be walking without his clothes on. And immediately after people started kind of applauding and laughing, her father came up to get her, and he was shocked when I asked her name. And I said, "Thank you, Karen. You helped tell that story perfectly." And she had such a big smile on her face. I wish I could arrange for that to happen like every other time I told stories, because it was such a nice inclusion in the event.
So she must have known that story ahead of time. She knew what was coming.
I think she heard it and recognized how it was going. And, what was neat was she just became such a presence slowly as she came up. And when I've used my accordion with young children, I always noticed that they like to hear the sound of the accordion. Sometimes they bounce. And I have had on occasions someone, a small child, come and stand right next to me. And the first time it ever happened years ago was very unnerving because they were close enough to actually touch me, but they didn't. And it was just a matter of they were so involved in the mechanism of the accordion keys.
Well, I have a story about a little girl who came to a storytelling event. This was at Foxhaven Farm between Middletown and Jefferson, Maryland, in Frederick County. And Foxhaven is an environmental learning center and a natural conservancy. And they do all kinds of wonderful festivals and workshops. And this was either their first or second storytelling festival. And my picture had been used as the publicity, part of the publicity for the event. And it was a picture of me telling stories at Foxhaven on another occasion where I have an odd expression on my face. My mouth is open in a big, long O. And my eyebrows are raised, my eyes are bulging out of my face because I'm expressing extreme surprise at children who had been participating in the storytelling. And a little girl came to this festival carrying this clipping from the paper of my face because her parents had told her that I was going to be at the festival. And when she had seen this picture in the paper, apparently it just made her laugh and laugh and laugh. She thought it was the funniest face she'd ever seen. So she came running up to me as I was getting ready at the front of the room, waving this piece of paper. And she just stood there and stared at me with the piece of paper in her hand. And I finally, her parents were standing behind her, of course, smiling. And so I figured she wanted to meet me. And so I went over to talk to her. And she was probably three. Not quite three. And she kept pointing to the picture and pointing to me. And each time she did, she would fall on the floor laughing in peals of laughter. So I started making the face for her because that was clearly what was appropriate, what was needed. And each time I did, she just would become overwhelmed with laughter. And all through that storytelling gig, this little girl sat in the front row and made that face at me. So I had to use that face at every opportunity. It was a little disconcerting to have to insert shock and surprise in whatever story I was telling. And she didn't last a really long time. She was very little. But she stayed through at least one story set. And that was one of my favorite fans.
Mm. Well, I have another story about a surprise. I was about four years ago in Pittsburgh. I was asked to do a storytelling coaching session with a group of people who had spent a year in a program where they worked at different, each person in this program worked at a different place. And they worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then on Friday, they did not work. And they met and were exchanged information and were given coaching and training about becoming more proficient as whatever they were doing. And this was a program where they were paid. They got paid, and I think it was minimum wage. But it was enough that they could survive one. And the age, I was told that the age was from 19 to 34 in the group that I would be working with.
Wide range.
Yes. And it was interesting that I neglected to ask how many people there would be. They just gave me a place and said, and it was a 3-hour program. And what I was there for was to coach them, illustrate for them how storytelling could give them a chance to tell their story about the year that they had spent in this program and how it had affected them. And it was supposed to be encouraging and positive and things. The person who hired me for the gig neglected to tell me that there would be 35 people in this. So when I got to the place, it was a rather large hall. We had plenty of room, and there were 35 people. And the oldest one happened to be in his early 30s. I think he may have said 33 or 34, but when I first looked at the group, when I first arrived, they were eating some kind of breakfast sandwiches or something. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We had 2 10-minute breaks scheduled into the 3 hours. Also, I wasn't told that at the beginning. So I looked, and my very first question was, so how many of you have ever gone to a storytelling event? And to my amazement, not a single person had ever been at a storytelling event. And I looked, and in my mind, I like to worry sometimes. I could imagine like a big dud falling. And so I quickly thought of one of my favorite stories, which is The Blacksmith and the Rabbi, and which I've used with kindergarten kids and also adults and people in an old age retirement village. And so I just picked 7 people and said, we're going to do something interactive, and took them on the side, told them what I wanted to do. And it is a very good story. It's funny, it's interactive, and it's repetitive. It's the kind of thing that works so well with young children, because it's most of the lines in it are said over and over and over again. And so it works really well with the young children who like that kind of repetition. And it worked. It was like a miracle. The rest of the 3 hours were wonderful. In fact, we only took 1 10-minute break. With the second time came up, they said, no, let's just keep going. We want to get some more of this. And it turned out to be a great event. So the first 3 or 4 minutes of trepidation disappeared. And having gotten people up, and they started it off without me. I was telling the basis of the story, but it really did work.
Instant engagement.
Yes.
The secret of the master storyteller.
Yeah, well, or the terrified storyteller.
Sometimes one and the same.
Yes.
I think we're about out of time, Staszkowski.
I think so. We have about 3 minutes, according to my
That's
timer.
About what I have. Right. My time or two.
Right.
Do you have any announcements you would like to make? Did I already say I will be telling stories on April 21st? I think I did say that.
But you said you didn't know where.
Yeah. Well, so it's in Hagerstown, but right. I'm not sure which venue. 2 to 4 p.m. And I will know that long before time.
I would like to give a little promotional thing.
Sure.
April 19th at the Sharpsburg Library in Sharpsburg, Maryland. I will be doing a science program at 6 o'clock in the evening, and it's scheduled to go from 6 to 7:30. The last time I did a program there a few months ago, the lady who closed the library was very kind, and we didn't get out until after 8 o'clock, and the library should have been closed. But I'm going to be doing a program about science, from the very small to the very large in our universe. Some of the stories are going to be about the constellations, and one story about an astronomer who cataloged the stars in the late 1500s, and also some very tiny things in our world.
Okay, well, that's a great segue, because we're going to be doing science on the air next week.
That's right.
Right? We're celebrating Stephen Hawking, that great scientist that we just lost recently. So
yes,
I'm glad you are
closing with that. I just finished a couple of books about him.
Yes.
And an incredibly interesting man. And so I think it's time that we close the storytelling hour.
I think you're right.
This is Stasia Okowski and
Fanny Crawford,
your co-hosts for the Noontime Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour at enlightenradio.org, independent community radio in Bolivar, West Virginia. Closing out this week's show, the Epic Storytelling Hour offers listeners a window into the world of storytelling by traditional and non-traditional storytellers, encouraging our listening community to share, preserve, and expand all of our stories. Thanks for listening, and check out our podcast at talltales.enlightenradio.org.
Looking forward to sharing stories with you next week.
Yes. And coming up,
California.
California.